Welcome back into WKOK Sunrise. Matt Catrillo here with you. Join now. You hear him every day, of course, from 3 to 5 weekdays here on WKOK and on the Steve Jones Show podcast. He is the voice of Penn State. Steve Jones joins us here. And, Steve, I'm the one asking the questions this time, so I don't know how you feel about that, but thanks for joining us.
It's great to be with you, as always, Matt.
Well, Steve, this is a pretty monumental year for you. You are finishing your 30th year doing Penn State football. You've just started your 40th season doing Penn State men's basketball, and you just broadcasted from your 150th different arena during the UMass game earlier this year. Now, I know you have your favorite stadiums to go from, not FedEx Field, as we heard many times with our friend Merrill Reese, but I don't think I've ever heard from you what your favorite arenas have been to broadcast from.
Oh, I think away from Penn State, of course, the two are, that's easy. It's the Rose Bowl and it's Madison Square Garden.
There you go.
The Rose Bowl is just an incredibly special, iconic setting, and it's something growing up that every New Year's Day, my brother and I would watch the game, and you'd look at Pasadena, and you'd see the San Gabriels and the sunshine and everything that goes with it, and then suddenly you get to be the one that's sitting there broadcasting the game in that setting, and it's just a phenomenal experience. And Madison Square Garden, I remember talking with Jim Delaney one time, and Jim, of course, played college basketball at North Carolina, and they're going to have the Big Ten tournament in 2018 at Madison Square Garden. I said, Jim, you and I are both basketball people. We know, like, that's the Mecca. And you, when you go in there, you look around, it's the Mecca. Now, they've put about $1 billion into it, Matt, and I got to admit, they spent the money really well. But you feel like those are, to me, the two most iconic venues I've been able to broadcast from in my career. It's really phenomenal, and I got to actually do the Garden and the Rose Bowl 2 weeks apart one year, which was really cool.
That is not bad. That is pretty good. Now, I have to ask you this. I know you've been asked this many different times, so I'm going to ask you this way. I remember you saying a few weeks ago on the show, Penn State was home to you and felt home to you, and that's why you never took any other offers that you got, and you got many different offers throughout your career and staying with Penn State. So I have to ask, either as a student, as a broadcaster, as just a resident down at State College, at what point did Penn State feel like home to you when you knew this is where you're going to be throughout the rest of your career?
Well, I hoped that would be. Probably when I was, a student here. I mean, right away, like my freshman year, it felt like it was the place I wanted to be. I wanted to be, not just because I wanted to be, doesn't mean it was going to happen, but I wanted to be the play-by-play announcer for Penn State football. I remember thinking that when I was a freshman here at Penn State. Now, thinking it and doing it, we could think all sorts of things. I mean, I could have said I wanted to be the play-by-play guy at Shikellamy, but that job's taken. But that's how quickly it felt. Like, I already had a natural affinity for Penn State to begin with. It was already in my blood. And it's I've been so fortunate. I've been able to fulfill all of that during the course of my career. And look, I've been fortunate. I mean, everything happens, right place, right time, good fortune. I mean, that's really the way it's fallen for me.
Now, going forward, what do you feel you have left to do and want to accomplish? I mean, you've just talked about being at Madison Square Garden. You're going to be getting ready for your third Outback Bowl for Penn State and Arkansas. You've done many other different things in your career. What's left on the bucket list, do you think?
Doing the Wagner game next, then going to Michigan State and doing that game, and then my next football game will be Arkansas. I'm always looking forward to the next one. I mean, I still feel like I'm not even close to being done in my career. I was fortunate to get a lot of these jobs young. So now that I've transitioned into middle age, but I still feel energetic, more enthusiastic about the job, more enthusiastic about the program, incredibly enthusiastic about the people I work with, and I feel like I've been able to, quote, and this is the critical part, staying sharp. Well, I feel like I've been able to, quote, stay sharp And I think that's been important. I mean, I would love, idealistically, now whether Penn State agrees with this or not, we'll have to find out. But I'd love to be doing this for the next 10 to 15 more years.
Well, there you go. We certainly hope for the same thing. Now, you mentioned freshman year felt like it would be home for you being at Penn State. I want to go back even further to your days at Penn State Wilkes-Barre when you were working at the very small radio station there. What do you think you would have told yourself then, knowing all that you have accomplished now and you're in your 40th year doing basketball, 30th year doing football?
I don't think I would have told myself anything different. I think you have to go through and do this and learn along the way. Being at Penn State Wilkes-Barre in that 10-watt radio station, I probably made 1,000 mistakes. And then the goal was to cut it down to 500. And then after that, you try and cut it down to 100. But I think the one thing I think I was smart about was that I felt practical experience was the best way to go. And not just sit there and think about it, actually go out there and do it and sit back and say, you know, I didn't do that right. I've got to change. I've got to be able to try it this way. I think that's better. And I also ended up with great mentors along the way, like Gil Santos, John Grant, Fran Fisher, that I was able to not just talk with and pick their brains, but I was able, through observation, to see how they went about their business. And I think it made a big difference in how I do mine.
What did those mentors mean to you?
I was able to sit there with Gil Santos and felt like I was in a living play-by-play classroom for 4 years. How to set up a play, how to describe it, how to turn a phrase. John Grant gave me the value of preparation, and John always took good care of me along the way. For example, we're working 1 year, and they lost a game. And he looked over at me. He says, "Hey, look, when we get on the bus, don't say a word." He says, "No talking after a loss." Okay. Right? And it, you know, I mean, little things like that. And then Fran, the enthusiasm for the job, the passion that he did his job with, how he interacted with people. I mean, those are all things that if you properly observe great pros like that, that you can then incorporate it into who you are.
There you go. I think that's obviously the best way to go, and you've been doing that now for decades. And you also yourself teach a sportscasting class, for those that didn't know and don't listen to the show, every day at Penn State. What's that like for you to be the mentor for the new class of broadcasters coming through? And what's the goal for you in the classroom and when you teach this now to your students?
First of all, I can't admit you'd say to people, for those who don't listen to the show, are you crazy? What are you talking about?
I would
just
agree.
Kidding. Just kidding. Look, I try to impart to them all the experience along the way that I've had, that they're not expected to be where I am right now, that they'll have to work to get there, that they'll make mistakes, don't get discouraged by mistakes, have confidence in yourself, develop your own style. When it comes to a story, it's always better to be second and right than first and wrong. So don't try to be the big shot that's out on Twitter, because after a while, I tell them the professionalism shows through, and you'll develop the reputation of being the person that's right, because people know you're careful enough to be right. You're respected enough to be right. When it comes to play-by-play, I let them know that, hey, look, the game's going to feel like 100 miles an hour the first time you do it. And they said, you'll get to a certain point, you look around, and, well, it feels like it's going 5 miles an hour. I mean, do you think any game right now at this stage of my career feels fast? No, because after a while, it's like driving a car. You know, you're 10-2, hey, mirror, okay, like, all right, after a couple of years, you're like, okay, you're looking around. Yeah, I got it. I see the motorcycle. We're good. I mean, that's about the way it is with play-by-play. And I think that, that I just try to impart to them, experience along the way. I mean, I gave them an example that listening is really important. I tell them how important listening is, whether you're listening in an interview, listening to a prominent topic, a prominent individual talk. You know, when you go to a press conference years ago, the late Dean Smith, I remember he talked about how he approached the NCAA tournament and how he doesn't look at it in the entirety of six games, how they try to break it down into two-game increments because it's easier for everybody to handle emotionally. Well, that's Dean Smith. So you listen to what he has to say. where you sit down and you listen to what a Mike Krzyzewski has to say. I listened for 32 years to all the things Joe had to say. And it makes a difference when you listen to the people that have been around the block and had the experience. It then helps form, you know, what your experiences happen to be, because you listen to them and you can give better answers because you listen to people that know.
We are talking with the voice of Penn State, Steve Jones, celebrating his 40th year doing Penn State men's basketball here on WKOK, 30th year doing football, and of course you hear him every day here on 3 to 5, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK with yours truly as well. Now I got to ask you this, of course, you not only do you have the play-by-play, you teach class, you have many different speaking engagements that are part of the job, but you also have some talk shows, including here before you do this show. You do 1450 ESPN State College, one from 1 to 3, then you come and do this show. Did you ever think a talk show where it was in your future, and what do you like about that aspect of the job, especially when you do the show here?
Well, I first started doing a talk show in the 80s. 1983 was the first time I started doing sports talk. And I've always liked it. WKOK has been different than any other place I've ever worked at. There's just a different kind of vibe and commitment to it that I think is really special. That's why when Roger Haddon approached me about it, I thought, now this is the kind of place I want to work at. This is the kind of environment I want to work in. And WKOK has allowed me to thrive in the job. And WKOK has allowed me to just go out, be me, but at the same time in a family atmosphere of working at the station. Now, part of it is you sat there and said, okay, I at some point you have to engage with the suit. I didn't say the experience was perfect, Matt. So
that's
but he's our guy. That makes a big difference. You know, and a lot of the experience you talk about, you know, people always kid me about, you know, the stories I tell. Well, when you've been around for a long time, you've got a lot of stories, right? If you don't have any stories, then you really haven't been trying to live a broadcasting life. You haven't been trying very hard. You have any stories about your 40-year career? No, I really don't. It's like, okay. No, I just kind of punch in. They point me toward the corner of the field. I talk. I go home. So that's part of it. And you also have to realize that I'll tell you a mistake I made in teaching class early, is I talked to everybody early about when you do a talk show, make sure you got your facts straight and everything like that, and it's well researched and blah blah blah, and I left out the fact that it's a show, and so you try to have fun. It's supposed to be entertaining. So the goal of the show, which you know, Matt, I mean, you're critical to everything we do. I mean, there's no getting around. I mean, you are. I mean, you're lining up guests and everything like that.
Yeah.
Okay. But what's important is that it's a show. So there's two elements to it. Number one, are we informing people? Are we telling them maybe some stuff that maybe they didn't know that takes them inside of sports and thinking about it maybe in a different way? And number two, are we entertaining? Okay? You don't want to just sit there and be dry toast. It's still a show. So you have to have a little level of entertainment to it. Obviously you and I sit there, and you know, we've been really fortunate. We've been blessed with the perfect foil, the suit. So, I mean, it's unbelievable.
It does bring some good material every once in a while, maybe.
What are you talking about? It's all factual. That's the part that's like, I mean, there's a lot of people looking around and saying, that can't be true. No, it is true. Everybody goes, yeah, it is.
Yeah. No, it kind of is. Well, Steve, I appreciate the time you've given us from day one, really, and it's a pleasure to work with you each and every day. It's always a lot of fun for me. It's always the highlight of my day doing the show and getting a chance to hear you and see you. I went out to a game, of course, earlier this year, the Villanova game, so it's been a lot of fun for me. It's a lot of fun for us, and congratulations on this terrific milestone.
Yeah. Well, It just means they haven't found anybody else, and there's also been, you know, for, you know, no job advancement. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what we're celebrating here.
Well, just keep eating those grapes with Jack, and we'll hear from
the,
you.
The grapes. The grapes. Oh, my goodness. Jack, I'll get to a quick one about that. Joanne, Jack's wife, gets the grapes. So Jack says, she's standing at the sink, and she's picking out all the stems. Right, and Jack looks at me. He says, "You're picking off all the stems." She says, "Well, I don't want Steve to have, you know, to have stems in there." And Jack looks at me. "What about me?"
That's the first time I've heard that side of the story.
Well, he just told me about it 2 weeks ago, and I'm laughing. I said, "Well, I said, you feel like you're the beneficiary of my goodwill here. What the?" You know, hey, you may be a Hall of Famer in life and the whole thing, and a Hall of Fame broadcaster and a Hall of Fame player, but, you know, it's like, you know, when you're at home.
There you go. Happy wife, happy life.
I mean, what do you think? I'm sitting here like going, my wife goes, "I live with Steve Jones." She goes, "Hey, get the garbage out." Okay. I got it. I mean, how do you think it works?
That's right. I've seen a little bit of that, too. Yes, absolutely right.
What are you doing? Did you cut the lawn? Yeah, I cut the lawn. Yeah. We're all good.
Chop the wood, all that good stuff. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. We need wood for the wood stuff. All set, honey. I brought it upstairs. Hey, by the way, I got a game tonight.
Steve, thank you as always, my friend. We'll talk to you next time here on the show.
All right, thanks, guys.
There he is, Steve Jones, the voice of Penn State. We're back after this on WKOK Sunrise.